We talk about the mitzvahs halayla of Tezvav b'Nisan, the Leil HaSeder. We could divide it up into two major categories. One category includes the mitzvahs halayla, some doraisa, some derabanan, matzah bizman hazeh doraisa we paskin, mora bizman hazeh derabanan, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Pesach. But the other category is, I would say, overarching. It's a framework for the entire Laila. And that's the mitzvah v'igadot l'bincha of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is the relationship between the two? Between the mitzvahs halayla, the specific ones, and this, as we called it, overall mitzvah, the framework of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. One indication of the relationship between the two is the statement of Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Elu BePesach Lo Yotzi DeChovaso. And as an integral part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we describe the mitzvahs halayla, their meaning, their purpose. There's a machlokes, how to interpret lo yotzi yidei chovaso. The pashtus is, lo yotzi yidei chovas sipur yitzis mitzrayim. An integral and essential part of sipur yitzis mitzrayim is to explain the mitzvahs halayla and connect them to sipur. But the Marashon, the name of the Ramban, quotes an entirely different approach, and that is lo yotzi yidei chovas pesach matzu morar. Pesach, Matzah, Maror are mitzvahs achila, and on one level it's a mechanical act of achila which has legal halachic definitions, but on the other hand, the ma'aseh achila is not sufficient in and of itself. It has to be upgraded, it has to be embellished, and transformed, as it were, into a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The achila per se becomes an achila sheyesh ba sipur. And how is that? By integrating the kol shelo amar shlosha dvarim, the pesach al shuma, matzah al shuma, into the achila, they become one entity. And the kiyum of achila requires that element of sipur. We'll see it again in the case of haseba. The Shulchan Aruch paskin said if a person ate the matzah without a seva, he's required to eat the matzah again. We see that on a Doraisa level, the Torah says, Bo'erev toklu matzahs, we need a ma'aseh achila, and that can be achieved even without a seva. But the way the Rabbanon defined and transformed the mitzvah of achila into an achila sheyesh ba sipur, the haseva is going to serve as the agent to transform the achila into an achila sheyesh ba sipur. And according to one opinion, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, it's likuva, it's indispensable. It's not enough to do the ma'aseh achila as a mechanical act, but it has to become an achila sheyesh ba sipur. How do I integrate sipur into the achila? How do I upgrade the sipur, the achila, into that of a sipur? By haseva. We have a paragraph in the Haggadah, which is based on the Mechilta Bavur Zeh, Lo Amarti Ela B'Shoshesh Matzu Mor Munachim Lefanecha. Once again, the relationship between Matzu Mor and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'Gadatol Bincha Yochel Mibod Yom. I might think that the mitzvah of V'Gadatol Bincha begins even early. So what's the earliest date, the earliest time period to begin to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? And the answer is bavur zeh. I'm sorry, to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the answer is bavur zeh. And bavur zeh tells me two things. Number one, it's mechadish that the earliest time for sipur is bavur zeh, when the mitzvah halayla begins. And number two, what it really means is that somehow the matzah, the maror, is going to be connected to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And It's that second chidush that the matzah has to be connected to Sipur Tzayim, which requires that the matzah be on the shulchan. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, used to get shailus, what happens in the case of kosheni, of the four kosas, the kos of Magid, if it spills, if the yayin spills before he finishes the Magid, before Gal Yisrael. And Rav Moshe used to tell him that he has to start from the beginning of Magid again. The Magid has to be related to the kos, and that kos is the second kos that we drink. And we should be careful when they tell you the Haggadah, sometimes they give you the instructions to cover the matzahs. The matzah should be exposed so that the sipur is chal on the matzah. This, in fact, is why, according to Chazal, the Torah went out of its way to give matzah a different name, a second name. And that name is Lechem Oni, Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe. The Hallel and the sipur, the Haggadah, has to be indicated in the matzah itself. The matzah, by breaking it, that's Darko Shalani V'Prusa. So when we eat the Prusa, the broken matzah, that itself transforms the achila of matzah from just a simple mechanical act into an act of Sipur, of Darko Shalani. And we're telling the story of Sipur. In fact, the Bavur Zeh will tell me not only the earliest time for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because we have to connect the Sipur to the Matzah, and the Matzah requires Laila, and the Poskim say this is based on the equation between Matzah and Pesach. V'ochlu es habasa b'layla hazeh. The Torah, with regard to the mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach, requires Laila, so we cannot begin the mitzvah of Higadot LeBincha before nightfall. If we were makabel on ourselves till Sefes Yontif, like we do on any Yontif, any Shabbos, that would not be sufficient if it's still Bibod Yom, it's not dark out, it's not astronomical Lila, for the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Sipur Yetzayim requires the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. The Zman Achilas Matzah is only Balila, but also we have to talk about the bookends at the end. What is the latest time for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Ran is of the opinion that we have to be careful about Hallel, and of course the Afikoman, that these should be fulfilled before Chatzos Laila, insofar as we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, that the Zman of Pesach terminates with Chatzos Laila. And if the Zman Pesach terminates with Laila, then we have to fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah in all its parts before Laila. The Zman Haggadah is Bavur Zeh. And that's up to Chatzos and not beyond. And therefore the poskim write, based on this particular sheet, they have to be careful not to extend the Haggadah beyond, you know, it's to try to fulfill the Haggadah and all its mitzvahs, and all, of course, the mitzvah Achilas HaLaila, and the Afikoman as a Zecher LePesach, a replacement for the Pesach, before Chatzos, to be Choshish for the Sheet, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. With regard to the role of Haseba as the agent to transform the Achila into an Achila Shel Sipur, we find the Gemara Daf Kuf Ches presents the situation of a Talmud sitting at the Seder of his Rebbe. The Rebbe invited the Talmud for the Seder. Sounds like an exciting opportunity to have the Seder with your Rebbe. And yet the Gemara says, Eino tzor chaseba, Talmud say rabo, is mora rabcha, kemora shamayim. In the context of the awe and the mora that one, as a Talmud, has to have his Rebbe Muvok, there's no room for a Seva. And then this is very odd. If the whole mitzvah of matzah, and we said it was likuva, to have a Seva, is to transform through the Seva, the achilu to the achilu shel sipur, is it such a good idea to be at your Rebbe Seder? And I think the answer has to be that there are two tzuros of achilus matzah. There's Achilas Matzah Doraisa without Haseba. There's Achilas Matzah with Haseba. The Rabbanon established that the mitzvah of matzah should be transformed into a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim through Haseba. One could have one kiyum without the other. We might even go a step further and say that the Talmud Bifnei Rabbo is not obligated in the mitzvah Derabbanon of Haseba. Whereas when the Rabbanon instituted, established the mitzvah of Seba, they obligated anyone but a Talmud b'fnei Rabbo. The Gemara has a suffix back and forth about Talmud b'fnei Rabbo, but the final maskana is that there's no Seba. The Rebbe could be mochel, but in a stomach, in the absence of an explicit mechila, the Talmud in the presence of his Rebbe Muvak is completely exempt from Seba, which is very interesting because the way the Rabbanan established the Tzura of Achilles Matzah, and for that matter Dalet Kosos, is with Haseva, to the extent to which if he omits Haseva, we said in the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk that you have to repeat the Shti and the Achila. But yet, although the Rabbanan established that Tzura, and that's an absolute requirement, Min Rabbanan, but it's not applicable in certain cases, like in the case of a Talmud B'fnei Rabba. So Talmud B'fnei Rabba goes back to the Mitzvah Doraisa and the Chiyuv of achila as a mechanical act, which doesn't have that enhancement element of sipur. Maybe the Rabbanan were happy with the fact that the achila would have a darko shalani beprusa, where after yachatz is a broken matzah, that itself makes it into an achila sheish pas sipur, even without a seva. Or maybe we could say that the zman of sipur or the recitation of Rabbi Gamliel's dictum and his formulation, matzah al shevishap al shol hispik b'tzeikom, you know, we make that declaration, we recite, and then the matzah itself becomes, and also the recitation of this, of you know, lechem oni means she'onim olav tor maharbe, with the matzah on the shulchan, and we recite the entire magid, that's enough to create an achila sheyesh bas sipur without a seva, and that element of a seva is not obligatory in the case of Talmud B'fnei Rabba. What about a son in the presence of his father? After all, the Torah says v'igadat l'bincha. So obviously, the son is there, and he's chayav in both kibud and mora vis-a-vis his father. And the Gemara says no, that there is heseba in the case of a Talmud B'fnei Rabba. Tosis has a suffix. What would be if his father is not only his biological father, but he's also his Rebbe Muvak, and he combines both personalities in one. So on the side that he's the main element, the primary element in that relationship is a son to a father, there should be a seva. If we focus on the element of a Talmud B'fnei Rabba, which in this case it is, then there should be no seva. And Tosis goes back and forth. First he thinks, well, since he's your Rebbe, you can't, you know, Mora Rabcha Kamora Shemaim, you can't do a Seva. But Tosus says that's impossible, because Tosus envisions that the father is the Rebbe Muvak. I mean, that's the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, Vishinanta Levenecha, is primarily focused on the father. It's the father's obligation to teach Torah to his son. He can give his son over to a shliach and send him to a cheder, but he is the one who's responsible. The father's responsible. And of course, the mitzvah sipur yitzrayim v'igadat l'bincha is a responsibility on the father. And it's also a parallel to Talmud Torah. There's so many parallels between the mitzvah of v'igadat l'bincha and Talmud Torah. One could almost say that v'igadat l'bincha is one specific subcategory application of the general mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's why the mitzvah of Yigadat Bincha is Bederach Shela or Tshuva. The way that we teach Torah is through Shela Tshuva. You ask a question, you get the student excited, and the answer to the question, it becomes a process which has an indelible mark on the nefesh, on the memory of a person. It's dramatic. It's Shela Tshuva. And of course, the Rambam says Lefi Daito Shel Ben Aviv Melamdo. Meaning that just like in Talmud Torah, you have to gear the Torah and the way, the method that you teach the Torah by the rule of Chanoch Lenar al Pi Darko, so too in, and of course the Mishnah establishes that we have to read the Parsha of Harami Ovid Ovid, we have to darshan the Parsha based on Chazal, and it's a perfect integration of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. So there are many, many indications that V'igadat l'bincha is like V'shinantom l'vanecha. It's a form and a specific application of mitzvahs Talmud Torah. And the assumption is that your father, insofar as he has the primary responsibility of Talmud Torah, he's your Rebbe Muvok. So that if we were to assume that just like a Talmud Bifnei Rabbo doesn't have a Seva, so too a Talmud who's a Ben Bifnei Aviv Rabbo doesn't have a Seva, then if you've undermined the whole mitzvah of a Seva, so Tosus comes to the conclusion that the primary mode in this relationship is that of a Ben to an Av, and despite the fact that he's your Rebbe, you still have to have a Seva. But again, it comes back to my original question I asked you, is it a good idea for a Talmud to be at the Seder of his Rebbe? Obviously, it's a trade-off. He's going to forfeit the opportunity, again, unless it's Mechila, of fulfilling the mitzvah of a Seva. But on the other hand, there's a lot to gain by being a Talmud Eitzel Rabba. But in the prime, you know, the biblical description of a Seder, of Igadatul Bincha, of a son at the Seder of his father, and his father transmitting the Torah of Sipri Tis Mitzrayim to his son, there will be a Seva. So that's the good news. I'd like to shift our focus, in which I'm asked to return to that question about a Talmud Bifnei Rabbo, to the question of Shabbos HaGadol. The tour asks the question, why is the Shabbos before Pesach called Shabbos HaGadol? And this is in Siman Tuf Lamed in Or HaChaim. And he says, Mipnei HaNes SheNaseh Bo. And the tour goes on to quote a Medrash about the great Nes that took place on that Shabbos before Pesach. And the Torah, Hashem commanded the people of Israel on the 10th of Chodesh Nisan, Besor LaChodesh Hazeh, Vikhu Ish Celebes Avos Celebes. On the Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to the Seder Olam that works out the calculations, the 10th of Nisan, the day in which Bnei Yisrael to take the lamb and tie it to each family to its bedpost, was Yom HaShabbos. In other words, Yetzias Mitzrayim itself was on Yom He, and on Shabbos, before Yom He, before the Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, they were commanded to take the Seh, the Tleh. And a great miracle occurred, says the Medrash, that on the 10th of Nisan, when our ancestors, each family took a Seh lepischo and tied it to the bedpost, the Mitzrim came and asked them, why? What are you doing? And the response of the Jewish people was honest and accurate. Lishchot, we have all the intention to slaughter this animal for the sake of a Pesach. That's the mitzvah that Hashem commanded us. And the major says, Vahayu Shineem Chaos. And there was a great miracle that happened, that Al Shoshochtim Elohim, even though the lamb was a holy animal, a deity of sorts, for the idol worshippers, for the Mitzrim, nevertheless, and this was a terrible desecration here, that the Jews were explicitly, openly telling us that, telling the Mitzrim that they're going to shecht the Korban Pesach, their idol, and the Mitzrim was Shineem Chaos. They couldn't respond. They were, so to speak, frozen in their tracks. V'lo hoyu reshoim lomar davar. V'al shem oso anes, koren oso Shabbos HaGadol. The interesting thing is, of course, on the 10th of Nisan, of the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was on Shabbos, the 10th of Nisan was on Shabbos, that's when the great miracle occurred. The Tosfos in Shabbos Pei Zayin Amud Beis presents an entirely different Medrash, again describing the Nes that happened to Klal Yisrael on that Shabbos before Pesach, on the 10th of Nisan. And the Medrash describes that Kshalachu Pischeim Beyosa Shabbos Niskavtsu Bechoros, the Bechoros of Mitzrayim came and they gather around the Jewish people, Veshalom, and they ask, what are you doing? Amru lem zevach Pesach Lashem sheyarog bechorei Mitzrayim. So the Jewish people, in their response, they revealed two things to the Bechoros. Number one, they told the Bechoros that they, the people of Israel, were going to shecht the lamb for the Korban Pesach. Number two, that the Bechoros of Mitzrayim were going to perish. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu had a pretty good record. You know, in nine plagues he had predicted, and everything came true. You can imagine the Bechorei Mitzrayim, when they heard that they were going to perish, the Medrash says, Holchu Eitzel Avoseim, they ran to their fathers. Levakesh, they wanted to ask, Shil Yishlchu Yisrael. And the fathers hopefully would persevere on Paro, and the Jews would sent out, and if the Jews would be sent out, then they would be spared. So they're really, in a sense, pleading for their lives. But Velo Ratzu, which is a very powerful miracle here, a change in the natural order. A father has compassion on his son, that's built into nature, but here the father did not have compassion on his son. The Asu Bechoros Milchama, and now comes the civil war. And the Bechoros rise up in rebellion against their fathers. V'hargumam harbe, untold numbers of Mitzrim died in this uprising. Hadod d'chsiv, says the Medrash, that's the pshat in the pasuk in Tilim, lemake Mitzrayim bivchoreim. We usually understand that lemake Mitzrayim bivchoreim is a reference to Makas Bechoros itself. No. This is a reference to a Makkah against Mitzrayim, and who brought about that Makkah against Mitzrayim, against the adults of Mitzrayim, the fathers of Mitzrayim? It was the Bechoreim. It was the Bechoros who killed fathers. I don't know if a Bechor rose up against his own father, but maybe against another father. It was like a battle, a war, that, you know, fathers against sons. And the Marsha, in his Chidushi Agados, on Shabbos Pei Zayin, wonders about the Medrash of the Torah and the Medrash of Tosis. There seem to be two versions of what exactly was the Ness, that great Ness that took place on that Shabbos, the 10th of Nisan before Pesach. Was it the way the Torah has it, that Ko Shinei Mitzrayim, that they couldn't respond, Al Sheshoktim Es Eloheim, V'lo Yachlu Lomar Dovar, or was it that there was a Makkah Mitzrayim Bivchoreim, that as a result of this Kavtzu HaBechoros, and then the Bechoros rose up against their fathers, so many of the Mitzrim died? Are we commemorating the death of the Mitzrim and this whole other version of a Makkas Bechoros that took place 4 days before Makkas Bechoros? Or are we commemorating the great miracle of Ko Eshineim, Ko Shinei Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim were unable to say a word when they were notified bluntly that their god, their idol, their deity was being set aside for slaughter? And the Marsha works overtime, so to speak, to integrate these two midrashim. And on the Medrash that Tosis quotes, he asks the following question. He says, when Bnei Yisrael took the tleh and designated it for the Korban Pesach, why, according to that version of the Medrash, if Tosis, did the Bechoros gather around the Jewish people? After all, at this point, they knew nothing about Makas Bechoros. And the Marsha explains, with what I call a breakthrough, that in every paganistic society, in every sort of ritual religion, there has to be the leaders who are in charge of implementing the religious and supervising over the religious rituals. And in the case of Mitzrayim, they worshipped the Tleh, because the Mazel Tleh is the first month of the zodiac. The sign is Aries of the zodiac. And everyone in Mitzrayim was called upon to have a great deal of respect and awe for the for Arius, for the Tle, this is the first and most important of the symbols of the zodiac. So the but who would be, which sector of the population of Mitzrayim would be specifically designated, singly designated for the first and primary responsibility to see to it that their God, meaning the Tle, would be protected and would be served? Who are the priests, in effect, in this idolatry, this Avodah Zorah of the Mitzrayim? The answer is the Bechoros. The Bechoros were considered like the first, you know, the firstborn, and then there's the first mazel, which is the Tle, which is the mazel of Chodesh Nisan, and the Bechor is the Rosh also. He is designated as the priest, and therefore when the word got out that Klal Yisrael were taking the Tle, the first responders had to be the Bechoros. And the great miracle is that Klal Yisrael were, as Chazal tell us, the Zohar and other sources, that they were Shakua, they themselves were influenced by the idol worship of Mitzrayim. They were down in the Memtesh Ari Tumah. They too served the Tle, thinking that God gave the Hanhagas Olam, he transmitted the and delegated the power of this world to these Mazolos, the first of which is Tle. So Kadosh Baruch Hu commands Bnei Yisrael to be makriv this Tle as a Karban Pesach Hashem, to reveal that the Tle has no power whatsoever, no independent power. It's batul mevutal. And according to this understanding, Rashi says that both midrashim can be integrated into one. There's no irreconcilable contradiction. When Klal Yisrael took the Tle, which was the god of Mitzrayim, and they wanted to, and they intended to bring it as a carbon Pesach Hashem, the Bechoros of Mitzrayim, they gathered around, these were the priests, they were in charge and supervised the worship of the Tle, and therefore it was their responsibility to find out what's going on with the Tle. So they immediately asked Klal Yisrael, what are they doing with their god? And when Klal Yisrael responded, Zevach Pesach Hashem, Sheyarog Bechore Mitzrayim, at that point, and here's the Medrash of the tour, Shineam Shala Bechorim Chaos. They couldn't say anything. They were frozen in their tracks. And that was a great miracle. And not only that, they found out that they were going to perish. And at that point, they couldn't do anything. You could say they were overwhelmed, gripped by fear. And then they went running to their fathers. And now the spell was off, they can finally use their mouth and speak, and begging their fathers, pleading that they should let the people of Israel go from Mitzrayim so that they won't die. And the parents cruelly refused to agree. And at that point, the Bechorim gathered together their battalions, and they made a rebellion, uprising against their fathers, Vahargum and Maharbe. So both reasoning, whether it's the tour that she named Chaos, and they weren't able to respond to the Bechorah, so whether it's the Tosfos with the version of the Medrash that it was the Bechorah who killed their fathers in that great rebellion, both really are integrated into one. The Bach, however, raises the Velt Kasha. You know, everybody asks the Kasha, why does the if we want to commemorate this great miracle, it should be identified with the 10th of Nisan, on the day it happened. We know that whenever we commemorate a miracle, you know, the 14th of Adar, or the 25th of Nisan, you know, we always look for a Hebrew calendar date on which the miracle occurred. So the Chazal, logically, in a consistent way, should have been koveh that if we want to commemorate this great miracle, it should be on the 10th of Nisan. Now, sometimes the 10th of Nisan falls out on a weekday. Sometimes, theoretically, as it did at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim in that generation, it falls out and coincides with Shabbos. But there's no reason to establish this memory device, you know, this Zechel and Nes, on Shabbos. It shouldn't be Shabbos HaGadol. And the Bach The Bach writes in Or HaChaim, Tmeim HaOlam, Yisamayi Yichsu L'Nes El HaShavis. Why did they connect it to Shabbos? They should have connected it to the 10th of the month. And it could be, in most cases, Shabbos is not the 10th of the month. It's like, for example, this year Shabbos is very early in the month of Nisan, relatively. And it's very interesting that the you know, the Bach has his complicated answer to this question, and the Levush has his complicated answer. We're not going to get into their answers. You know, anybody who wants to see it, it's the Bach here in Siman Tav Lamed, and the Levush. Levush has this whole business about the mitzvah knowing that the Jewish people were Shomer Shabbos, and that's what stimulated their curiosity about the fact that they were taking the tles, that we're not allowed to take an animal on Shabbos. Very strange. Again, it's very complicated, and it's not for us. We're going to go with a different approach. Again, just to quote the language here of the Achronim, of Rabbi Makshim and Kain Hoyol Oliaches HaGedula, the Nes should be related to the 10th of the month, Yud B'chodesh Afilu B'chol. Fine. Let's try to present an answer, if we can, based on a breakthrough, I call it a sort of revolution, of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is Droshos, has for Parshas Lech Lecha, in the context of Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Breishis, Lo Nosal Sam Ha'aretz La Sheves Yachtov Ki Hoy Rechusham Rav Hayariv Bein Roe Mikne Avram Bein Roe Mikne Lot. The Chassam Sofer writes, Yishlomer Miderech HaTzadikim Lios Be'achtus Gomur. One of the unique dimensions of and behavior of the tzaddikim is that they live in unity together. We would say today, looking at the tzaddikim, we'd say halavai. V'oz, says the Chassam Sofer, kinus l'tzaddikim is hanah lahem v'hanah liol. No, it's not only is the unity, the oneness, the togetherness, and the partnership of all the tzaddikim a hanah lahem, but it's also a great boon for the world, for the universe. Why? Because zeh atzmo goreim pizur l'rishoyim. He's got, on a scale, one extreme to the other. He's got kinus, the unity of tzaddikim, and that's going to generate a pizur l'rishoyim. It's going to create disunity, break up the harmony amongst the Rishayim. It's like you have Kiddush on one side and the opposite on the other, what you call Klipa. And if the Kiddush is strong, the Klipa becomes weak. V'ahepech, says the Chassam Sofer, v'ahepech, kishe'eno v'yachtus chas v'shalom, if there's going to be Pirud and Pidu and Pizur and amongst the Tzaddikim, there's disunity, goreim kinus l'Rishayim. That has the impact of joining together and unifying the Rishayim. And that's Raliola. And that's what the pasuk means, that v'lo nosal sama aretz l'shevis yachtav v'zeh garam shaknani v'aprizi oz yoshev baretz b'shashket v'shalfa. The connection between the reish of the pasuk, the riv, between Avram, Roe Avram and Roe Lot, and the end of the pasuk which says, haknani oz baretz, etc., that's to tell you that since there was a period amongst the so-called tzaddikim, again, it's hard to classify Lot as a great tzaddik, but that's going to create an achdus amongst the Rishayim. And of course, we can understand in this context the story of Megillas Esther. Not that long ago that we read the Megillah, and Esther responds to Haman, in a sense. You know, Haman says to the Ahasuerus, Yeshno Amechad Mefuzar Meforid Bein Ha'amim. And the Manos Halevi and others already interpret that the kitrug of Haman against Klal Yisrael is that the people of Israel should be amecha, they should be beachdus with unity, but nevertheless, mefuzah meforad, there's a period of machlokas amongst them, and therefore Esther's response to Mordechai is lech knosis kol Yehud. So what it means is that if there'll be period in Klal Yisrael, then Achashverosh and Haman have achdus, and they work together to destroy the Jewish people. If on the other hand the Jewish people will have achdus, leich knosis kol Yehudim, leiv echad, ish echad, with mishloch manos Yisrael, etc., etc. So with that ribui achdus is going to be pizul arashayim, and that's going to create the period between Achashverosh and Haman. But this is the working principle of which, according to the Chasam Sofer's thesis, the universe operates when there's kiddus l'tzadikim, there's pizul arashayim. And if this be the case, then maybe this opens up a Pesach to understand the connection between Lekichas HaPesach, which was on the 10th of Nisan, and Shabbos, the Shabbos HaGadol, as we call it, the great miracle of the rebellion of the Mitzrayim, of the Bchori Mitzrayim, against rising up, as it were, against their fathers. Because we always ask the question, to evaluate, to appreciate the greatness of this miracle, we have to see how much it disturbs nature. And the natural mode of a relationship, a love relationship between a father and a son, and the compassion in that context is completely undermined here in the case of Makkah Mitzrayim b'Vchoreya, in case of this rebellion. And the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, Rav Pinchas Friedman, quoting the Chidah lived 2.5 centuries ago, the great Sephardic Chidah, he asks the following question: why is it that the Gemara in Sanhedrin is so harsh on a Ben Noach Sheshavas, a guy who decides to observe Shabbos? He's Chayiv Misa, the Gemara says. And the Chidah says, because Shabbos is Sharvito Shel Melech, scepter of the king. And the halacha is, the Gemara establishes at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, Chof Beis, that if a person uses, he absconds, he does work with the Sharvito Shel Melech, the scepter of the king, then he's Chayiv Misa, he has the status of a Moreid B'malchus. It's a kind of embellishment of embezzlement of the king itself. It's a rebellion against the king. Now, why is Shabbos Sharvito Shel Melech, such that the Goyim, if they embezzle, if they usurp our Shabbos, the Chayiv Misa, like a Morid B'Malchus? So for that we have to go back and ask the following question: what is the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And how does Shabbos reflect or express that relationship? And what is the relationship between the Umos HaOlam, the nations of the world, and God? And we have two key psukim in Tanakh indicating the two modes of relationship. With regard to Klal Yisrael, the pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, "Bodim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem." Our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that of a son to a father, and in the context of that relationship, Shabbos is given to Klal Yisrael, and therefore Klal Yisrael are permitted. This is the matir, allowing them to use the Sharvito Shalaviyam. A father allows his son to use his Sharvit. But in the case of the Goyim, their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Almighty God, is a different one. It's the Bechina of Eved Bifnei Melech. The Pasuk says, Malach Elokim Al Goyim. Hashem is the king over the Goyim. And of course, therefore, in that relationship, in that context, there's no heter for the Eved to use the Sharvit of his Melech, if he does so, if he absconds with the Shabbos, then he has rebelled against his king. And when we think about the tremendous, powerful connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are Bonim Lashem, the mitzvah of Shabbos is primary focus. Because what happens on Shabbos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares on Shabbos, you know, I'm using human terms metaphorically, but I am a very busy fellow. I have a lot of things on my desk. You know, I have to take care of universes. But on Shabbos, I'm going to put all my appointments on the side, and I'm going to dedicate this time period of Shabbos to be misyached, to be alone with my children, with Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ozev Es Asokov. He leaves behind, he ignores all his responsibilities so that he can be alone with his children once a week on Shabbos. You know, we live in a contemporary society where fathers don't always have time for their children. This is a very important Musa Shmuz, that a father has to find the time to be alone with his son. And when I say fathers with son, I mean parents with children, and mothers with children, and mothers with sons, mothers with daughters, fathers with daughters, the whole gamut. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to dedicate one day out of the week to be alone with you, what is Klal Yisrael? How do they respond? And the answer is, they're going to leave all their asakim and all their pitkaloch that are sitting on their table, that all the responsibilities and all the, you know, the WhatsApp messages and whatever they have to take care of, close the cell phone for one day of Shabbos in order to be alone, to be misyached with your Father in heaven. So Shabbos Kodesh is a hisorus, a certain intense arouse that feeling and that relationship, cement that relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a father and Knesset Yisrael as the Bonim. The Av and the Ben go together. They make sure that their schedules are clear, panui, for the sake of Yichud, to be alone in an intimate relationship. That's going to be the Shabbos. There's no malacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoveis mi malachto. V'yom HaShvi shoveis mi kol malachto. And B'nai Yisrael shoveis mi malacha. That's the essence of Shabbos. And now that both sides of this father-son relationship are panui, are free, for Yichud to be alone, Hashem levado. And that levadius, that aloneness, and that Yichud of the Father and the Son, that's the essence of Shabbos, that's the essence of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Sharvito Shel Melech. And if the Goyim usurp that, then Goy Sheshavas Chayav Misa. A Goy has no connection to this relationship, this special relationship between a father and a son, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokecha. So when the Torah says, at the end of Sefer Shmos, V'shomer Yisrael Shabbos, La'asos Shabbos, or some bris olam, that the Shabbos becomes the bris, that ultimate commitment in a reciprocal relationship, Beini uvein bnei Yisrael osi li'olam, the os and the bris, this eternal os between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, is the yichud, is the aloneness, this special relationship between the father and his children. Shabbos becomes the Sharvito Shel Melech. How is it possible that Klal Yisrael could use and enjoy the benefit of the Sharvito Shel Melech? The answer is because they are Bonim. And the father allows his son to use and enjoy the Sharvito Shel Aviv. And that's through Shmira Shabbos. And if that be the case, then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Bnei Yisrael to take the seh, to tie up the lamb of the Korban Pesach, it's dafka on Shabbos, on the Shabbos lifnei Pesach. And why is it? Because what is Shabbos? How do we observe the Shabbos? Of course, as we said before, we close all our geschäfts, you know, no longer are we involved and dedicated in the asokim, dollars and cents, and stocks and bonds, and investments, and all the like. But there's more to it than that. The Zohar is famous, and for those who daven Nusach Sfarad on Leil Shabbos, the Kigav, they'll be fit. Now, this is very basic material, very familiar. And this is the Zohar in Parshas Truma, says, Raza the Shabbos, Ihi Shabbos, this Chadatam Raza the Echa. The soul, the secret of Shabbos, is that Shabbos is a Yichud with the Sod HaEchad, with the oneness and the unity of God, which the Zohar completes this presentation by saying, Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. That what makes Klal Yisrael the Banim, L'Hashem Elokeichem, and the Goyim are only have the status, the Din of Avodim. Why is that? And the answer is, Mida Keneged Mida, because Klal Yisrael received the Torah, and they accepted upon themselves the obligation, the mandate of believing in the Achdus of Hashem. The Aseret HaDibros open with Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. What is Yetzias Mitzrayim? What is the first of the commandments? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. It's God, we believe in you, we accept you as our Father, and we accept the Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And if you go through the L'chad Dodis of Alkabetz, you'll see on Friday night how central this idea is with regard to Shmir Shabbos, that we declare Hashem as Hashem Echad. The Goyim, on the other hand, although they are enjoined from worshipping other idols, other gods, and the Yisra of Avodah Zarah is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but nevertheless there are more paskins that were allowed to go into business with a guy, and he's probably referring to the Christians in Poland. And the reason is because Ein B'nai Noach Mutzharim Al HaShituf. In other words, they can accept a certain belief in what we call Shtei Rishuyos. But now we understand that Klal Yisrael obtain the unique status of Banim Lashem, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as their father, because you can only have one father. Hashem is Hashem Echad. A person cannot have more than one father. The Umas Olam, on the other hand, we have something called dual citizenship. You know, they accept their commitment to God as king, but there are many kings. You know, they can go from one country to the other, and they switch around their king. But father, you can only have one father. So this is the concept of the Zohar of Raza the Shabbos. Iyu the Shabbos is Chalit of Raza the Echad. We declare on Shabbos, and our entire Shmir Shabbos is an Emunah belief in Achdus Hashem. And on that day of Achdus Hashem, when we declare Hashem is Hashem Echad, we are Banim Lashem, God. We only have one father. There's only Echad. And that gives us the din, the status of a ben. And that allows us to be shoveis on Shabbos and to use and benefit from the Sharvito Shel Melech, because we are banim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us on Shabbos, the 10th of Nisan, to take the Karban Pesach. Because, as the Pasuk says, Vayikra Moshe l'chol ziknei Yisrael v'yomar leim mishchu v'kchu lechem tzon l'mishpachoseim v'shachtu ha-Pesach. And the Medrash describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I cannot redeem the people of Israel kol zman as long as they are worshipping the gods of Mitzrayim. There's no room for geula, for redemption. And therefore, lechem orlehem she'anichu ma'aseyem aroim v'likfar bi'avodas kochavim mishchu kulachem mishchu yedeichem bi'avodas kochavim kulachem tzon v'shachtu elohem shal Mitzrayim v'asu ha'pesach. As long as the Jewish people are serving the gods, the tleh of the idol worship is in Mitzrayim, when they believe that God somehow delegated power to the mazel of tleh, that the Aries can now be the intermediary, that's a terrible pgam, a blemish that undermines their status as banim. But what they need is now a new zchus, a new merit, that will make them worthy of redemption as banim, and that's the emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is echad. And that's the experience of Shabbos. The experience of Shabbos can engender in the hearts of Bnei Yisrael that commitment to achdus, of a son to a father. You are my father, you are my only father. You only have one father. And the Shabbos now generates a certain power in Klal Yisrael, a spiritual power, a courage to take the Avodah Zarah. If Hashem expresses His love for me as a son, now I'm His son, then we love Him reciprocally as a father. And therefore we're going to be willing to sacrifice ourselves and endanger ourselves for that love and that commitment to our Father. We only have one Father, us in the Echad. And that's Beini Uveine, Ubei Bnei Yisrael Os Leolam. The Shabbos is an Os Leolam. The school of Shabbos is that experience of Shabbos, of declaring Hashem as Hashem Echad, and making us into loyal sons to our beloved Father. That gives us the power, the energy, to deny Avodah Zarah, to completely negate Avodah Zarah, because that Avodah Zarah separates us from our Father in Heaven. So take the Tle and Shecht it as a Karban Hashem. And we begin to understand and appreciate the great miracle of Shabbos HaGadol, because as a result, in the aftermath of that experience of Shabbos, they were able, our forefathers, our ancestors, were able to take the Karban Pesach and separate it with a great deal of Mesiris Nefesh and Shecht it Lashem as a revelation that we ignore Avodah Zarah, we negate it, we want a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe in Achdus Hashem. We are His Son. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You're our only one Father that we have. And the Midah Keneged Midah, when we connect to Hashem as a Ben, and we're allowed therefore to use the Sharvito Shel Melech and enjoy the benefit of the experience of Shabbos through that Achdus, we now apply the principle of the Chasam Sof. We haven't forgotten that Kinus L'Tzadikim is a Pizur L'Rishayim. Here in this case, there's a Kinus of an integration, a profound relationship of father to son, a love relationship of father to son of Kedusha, when through Shabbos we experience the Achdus, and that we call it the yichud, that Hashem leaves whatever He has to do during the week, and we leave whatever we, and we get together as father and son. That kinus is going to cause pirud beklipa, is going to cause the pizur of the rishayim, and something unnatural and anti nature is going to happen here, and there's going to be a rebellion of father against son, son against father. Where's the natural love of a father, compassion for his son? The Bechoros are coming and trying to say, to plead, to supplicate to their father, save us and spare us, our lives are on the line. And when the Bechorei Mitzrayim, on that Shabbos HaGadol, became aware of the fact that Klal Yisrael were taking the Tleh, and they came to ask Klal Yisrael, why are you taking their Avodah Zarah? And Klal Yisrael answers with a great deal of sacrifice, endangering their lives, that they're taking the Tleh in order to sacrifice it as a Karban Hashem, even though they knew very well that they might be killed on the spot by taking the Avodah Zarah, the Lehi Mitzrayim. But with their Emunah, with their Mesiris Nefesh, that as a result of their Achdus, together with Aviyam Sheva Shamayim, they created a miracle. They generated Hashem compassion, the miracle of the Ko Shineim Shel Bechorei Mitzrayim, because we have the Achdus of Kedusha, which generates the Pirud of Klipa of Rishayim. And that separated the Bechoros from their fathers in a very unnatural but supernatural way. When they went to ask their fathers to let the people of Israel go, their fathers refused. And the entire structure of nature was changed and altered in such a way that instead of Kerachim of Albanim, it was Maka Mitzrayim Bivchoreim. And on this we declare Ki Li Olam Chasdo. So the root of the miracle is really the mitzvah of Shabbos. That Shabbos before Pesach, the first, in a sense, communal experience of Shabbos, in which all of Klal Yisrael were one, declaring the oneness of God. And in the aftermath and the power of that experience of the Father-Son closeness, now the Yichud of Klal Yisrael with their Father in Heaven, they merited to undermine the love between the fathers and the sons of the Mitzrim. They took the God that they had served, and they were mevatel et avodah zarah. They revealed their tremendous, profound, absolute emunah to the Achdus of Hashem. They became Banim LaMakom. This is the power of Shabbos HaGadol. And if we have gained this insight that the father-son relationship is forged on Shabbos, we understand that the Shabbos HaGadol is going to be the revelation of Gadol. Gadol always means a father-son relationship. For example, the Gemara tells us that a Gadol is not necessarily a Gadol B'shanim, but it's a Gadol that has children. And this is perhaps the sedgeway to understand and appreciate the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol from Malachi. Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Aliyo Anovi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Anora. And what makes Eliyahu HaNavi declare that this is the Yom HaGadol V'Anora? Let's emphasize the word Gadol, which is the reason why we recite this Haftorah from Malachi, because of Shabbos HaGadol, HaGadol V'Anora. And what is the greatness of this day? It's V'Heshiv Levavos Al Banim, which is a symbolic metaphor for the relation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Father and Knesset Yisrael as the Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. So now on this Shabbos, we're going to glorify that relationship. It's so absolutely stunning and beautiful that Veheshiv Levavos Al Banim Velev Banim Al Avosam is the apex of this Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol, because the great miracle of Shabbos HaGadol was the Pirud, in which there was a separation against all the laws of nature between the Banim and the Bechorim of Mitzrayim and their fathers. And all this was generated by the Yichud, the togetherness and the unity, the marvelous unity that was generated between Klal Yisrael as Banim and their Father in Heaven. And that's the Shabbos HaGadol of that great miracle, that unity between the Father and the Son, the Father in Heaven, and Klal Yisrael's Banim is what generated the period to the Mitzrim, Velharag Bivchoreim. And not only Harag Bivchoreim, which is going to happen 4 days later, but what happens on the 10th of Nisan on that great Shabbos is that Maka Mitzrayim Bivchoreim. So the Achdus between Klal Yisrael and Avim Shepeshmaim that begins on that great Shabbos, the Shabbos HaGadol, in which they took the Tleh, in which Klal Yisrael became the beloved sons, and they accepted their Father in Heaven as their beloved Father, and in that context of the dedication of a son to the Father, they were willing to say that there's no intermediary. You know, we only have one Father, and we're going to shech the Avodah Zorah that serves as an intermediary. And on Leila Pesach, 4 nights later, they completed the process. After shechting the Pesach, they ate the Korban Pesach, and they ate it Lashem. Lashem Levado, as a complete, total dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an absolute way, to the exclusion of any other gods and any other powers. So on Leil Pesach, the Achdus between Klal Yisrael as the sons, as Banim Latem Lashem, and the Father in Heaven as our Father, that Kedusha is really the Kedusha that expresses itself in the act of Achilas HaPesach. That's going to be the culmination, and that's going to create that pirud in the klipa between Bechorim Mitzrayim and Avosam. Halavai that we should be zochet during this month of Nisan, because Chazal tell us that b'Nisan nigalu and b'Nisan asidim ligol, we should be zochet to v'heshiv levavos al banim, parents and children. We should prepare ourselves for the ultimate geula. We should dedicate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way of Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. We only have one Father, our compassionate Father, who has done such incredible miracles for us, and this continues to our day. Yiratzom it be His will, that within the context of that Achdus of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Bonem Atem L'Hashem Elokeichu, we should be Zoche to the ultimate Geula that's going to transpire B'mheirav Yemenu in this month of Nisan. B'Nisan Asidim Li Goel Kein Yiratzon. Amen.